We are going to begin a five-week series in Romans chapter 8, one chapter which has some beautiful and encouraging teaching from the Apostle Paul to the Roman Church. And today our reading is Romans 8, verses 1 to 11, and our theme is security. Romans chapter 8. Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you.
Morning, everybody. I always want to say it's great to see you. It is good to see you, even though I can't see you. It's wonderful to be here together, isn't it? So we get to start this series today. Well, continue the series. We've been doing this thing called Living in Times of Trial. And Romans 8, I'm hoping, will be, and I'll say it in a moment, like a mountaintop experience for us that we can know and have and hold. And so today, in a way, I kind of want to introduce Romans 8 to us, or reintroduce it to us, as we get ready for 5 weeks. 5 weeks in this incredible chapter. So why don't I just quickly pray as we come to take a look at what God's Word has to say for us this morning. Let me pray. Our gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, our rock, our foundation, our salvation. We thank you so much for Jesus Christ, that in him and through him there is now no condemnation for those who believe. Thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit, that he comes, that he dwells within us, that he gives to us that wonderful reality of Christ Jesus our Lord. And I pray today that as we look at these words and we're reminded and wrestle with, I guess, the realities of life and death and what it means to have true security of life, that we might be a people who, if we do trust in Jesus, we have a greater confidence that we really do hold on to that security. And maybe if we don't know Jesus, we might be challenged to look and to see that this is the only place to find security of life in all the world, and turn and gain that wonderful life and peace. Please help me to be clear. Please help all of us to engage in such a way that means that you teach us, that you direct us, and that you receive all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans 8 is an incredible chapter of Scripture. And it starts and ends with like security, with assurance, which I'm hoping we get that theme today, because listen to how it starts. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 39, right at the end, it talks about how there's nothing that can separate us. In all creation, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in between those two verses is some of the most beautiful but complex stuff for us to wrestle through. This is one of the most wonderful passages in the entire Bible. A couple of years ago, had a friend post a picture on Instagram or Facebook, and it was him in a plane. He was flying in this plane, and he was pointing to the top of this mountain. And he took the picture of the mountain and he pointed to it and he said, in a humorous way, the high point of my trip, because he was at the very peak of Mount Everest. And we know Mount Everest is the highest peak of the highest mountain range in all of the earth. So it is a high point to be there. And that's a bit like what Romans 8 is to us. It takes us to that mountaintop. It takes us to that highest point. And some have called it the greatest chapter and the greatest book of all of Scripture. Now, that might be stretching it given all that we have, but my hope is that over these next 5 weeks, we get that experience of witnessing what it means to be, experiencing what it means to have the Christian life to the full and have that high point, not just for a moment, but something that can flow through all of life. Because, well, if you're anything like me, life, the Christian life, it has its valleys, doesn't it? There are times, there are things that happen in life that mean that I don't feel like I'm on the mountaintop, that I don't feel like I have a sure and firm, secure foundation underneath me. I do have feelings of insecurity. I do have feelings of shame and guilt and fear, and I wrestle and struggle with them, particularly when times are trialing, which is why we're doing what we're doing now, because stuff feels a bit strange, doesn't it? We just heard Steph talk about that. And Romans 8 it's like that light that just bursts through the darkness and just shines again to remind you of what is true for all people at all times, not just in those high points, but this is the reality for a Christian at all times if you believe. We have to acknowledge that foundations are important, and what our rock is and what our security is will shape and mold all the other things that we do. And when the scaffolding, as Steph said before, has been sort of taken away, and when some of those things that you might normally actually rely on for security have been, well, they've broken a bit, and what is it that we actually have for security of life? And even if you have the scaffolding, even if you have those things still, there's something so much greater, and this chapter teaches us that. Because what Paul wants you and me, what he wanted the original readers to understand was that they can have a deep, deep assurance, because he is talking about life and death. He is talking about eternal realities that we don't often talk too much about. And he's talking about what it means to have true, everlasting Christian assurance. And so this chapter, I'm hoping, is something that does give us an incredible security. And I'm going to focus in on that today, and we're going to have 4 more weeks to work through this passage. So why don't we take a look? Because he starts this little part of this book by saying, therefore. And whenever there's a therefore, you have to ask, what is the therefore there for? Because what he's done here is he's kind of unpacked for chapters now. Chapters 1 to 7 of Romans is all about, well, the Christian life, how it is formed, how you've come to trust and to know and understand who Jesus is. And now he kind of sums up a little bit. It's a funny thing that he sums up, because he then writes another, well, 8 chapters, but he's summing up at this point, particularly what's happened in chapters 5 to 7, about how it is that life and death are contrasts, and the spirit and the flesh are in this wrestle, and well, how does it all work for you and me as a Christian? What do we cling to? He wants to show that life is secured, and it can be now, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That security comes because Christ has done it. He has done what we couldn't. But then the Spirit has come and he gives to you, he delivers what Christ has done so that you can then live by it. So let's take a look. We're going to start by looking at how it is that the life that we now have in Christ is secured by the Spirit. And he starts with these wonderful words, there is now no condemnation. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. See that in verse 1? Condemnation. What does that mean? To be seen as guilty and then charged as such. And this actually, when he says there is now no condemnation, takes us all the way back to Romans chapter 5, sort of where he began this little mini section that he's been going through. Flick back there if you have a Bible. It'd be good if you do. Because Romans 5 verse 1 has another therefore, and says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification. No condemnation. We have a right standing with God now. No condemnation, but what did it say there? Peace, peace with God. There's no guilty charge anymore. We have been freed from the sentence. We have been freed from the guilt. We've been freed from the shame. We've been freed from those chains and been found again. So we have this family. We have this unity. We have no condemnation. It's a wonderful thing. And I think we need to own this. We need to get this because Paul has just spent chapters and chapters teasing this out and building on it. And we get to this wonderful verse, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but we've got to hold it. It is the central foundation of Christianity, isn't it? This is what we hold. This is what we announce. This is what we can't forget because so often we do. And our consciences and our memories play on us and our bodies and our minds, it can confuse us. We have those drive-by moments where we remember our guilt and our shame. I don't know what it's like for you, but there's been a couple of times where I've been caught speeding and there was one time I didn't realize I was speeding and all of a sudden a police car comes behind and the flashing lights go and they pull you over and you discover that you've broken the law. Now, I should have known because I should have seen the signs. If I drive past that point where I was pulled over, I still feel the guilt and the shame. And I'm like, I better check that I'm not actually breaking the law at this point too, because I feel like the memories of my guilt and shame are all just flooding back to me in that moment. But there's also probably moments that you drive by in your memories, times in your life, things that you've done. You could probably just go to yesterday or this week where your conscience tells you, where the law tells you, you've failed. Romans 3:20, I'm just going to turn there too quickly. Romans 3:20 says this, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. We have failed, kind of like me. I knew I'd failed at the point once I was pulled over and the law told me, you've failed at this point. Like my conscience tells me that time and time again I seem to sin and that can create weight. That can start to feel like it, maybe there is condemnation. But what did verse 1 say? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so we have to ask how? Why? Because again, we've acknowledged we do have guilt, we do have shame, we do have distance with our God because we fail time and time again to live up to his righteous requirements. How? Why? How do we get this security in life? Is it just by working harder, a life lived well, trying to work it up, protect ourselves, ensure ourselves, assure ourselves? No, that's the beauty of the gospel, isn't it? Because security in life is not about our work, but it's about Christ's work, given to us, delivered to us by the Spirit. And verses 2 to 3 explain that for us. They explain why we no longer have to worry about condemnation. And it says verse 2, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. Now, this is a complex little cookie. It seems that way. It's complex, but quite simple. I think all good cookies are a bit like that. Complex, but simple and tasty. Simply put, we are given or delivered security by the Spirit because Christ did the work that we couldn't do. Because what happens here is the Spirit delivers us into like a new power. We are transferred from the power of sin and death over into the power of the Spirit of the Lord that Christ has given to us. And it secures us life. You see the contrast? You have one power, the old power, which brought sin and death. And then you have the other power, the new power, which brings freedom and life and security. And it's all made possible. Verse 3, how? Because Christ did it. I know in this time, there was a period where gyms shut down. And I reckon there's a lot of people that weren't able to continue to go to the gym. I'm very fortunate. I have a gym in my garage, yet I'm not as consistent as I would like to be. And when you stop working out, if you stop doing those exercises, when you go back to the gym, let's say you're doing a bench press. A bench press is where you hold the weight. You're lying down. I won't lie down. You won't see me. But you're holding the weight and you bring it down onto your chest and then you push it back up off your chest again. Whenever I come back to the gym after a bit of a break, I always in my mind think, I can lift the same that I did, you know, 3, 6 months ago. And so you whack it on the bar, you put it all there, you've got all this weight ready, and then you take it off the rack and, oh, that feels okay, until you drop it down onto your chest. And then you're stuck because you realize you're actually a little weaker than you remember. And you, oh, and because of my weakness in my flesh, I can't lift that weight off my chest. And it's actually, there's a couple of ways you can get out. One, you can sort of roll the bar down your body, which is not very comfortable. Or if you haven't put the locks on, you can dump the weights either side. Either way, it's dangerous. Make sure you start with a lighter weight when you begin. But because of my weakness in my flesh, because of how it is that I can't push that, I'm just not strong enough to do it. And in a way, that's what Paul's talking about here. The law was powerless because it was weakened by our flesh. The law, what is it God had given to his people to help them to live in line with what he had always called them to be his people, to walk and talk and live like his people should. But it was made powerless. It was unable to rescue people from the issue they had of sin and death, not because the law was the issue, but as Paul says, because they were weak, weakened by the flesh. What is this flesh? Some of your Bibles might actually say the sinful nature, because it's not the flesh on our bodies, you know, it's not the actual meat on our bones. It's not the bodies, the whole body itself. No, it's that worldly focus. It's that sinful tendency that we all do have in our sinful nature, the flesh, in contrast to the spirit. You see, our sinful state meant that the law could only ever condemn us. It was only ever going to show our weak state. It could never give us life. It could never show us anything other than we were deserving of death. It was unable to save, but it was never designed to save. That's what Romans chapter 3, verse 20 said. Trying to live that way for security, trying to have the law with your weak flesh is like jamming the wrong key into the door. I have these two keys that look nearly identical. And if I put one in, it opens beautifully. If I put the other in, I'm not getting in. You see, God had a much bigger, much more gracious, Jesus-shaped key that he wanted to show how it is that we have life. And hear the gospel in these words. At points, it sounds like John 3:16 here. I don't know if you saw that. Jesus came, it says, that God sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh. Or the Bible might say man. Likeness. Likeness. Not the same. Not exactly the same, but different, wasn't he? Because sure, he came fleshy. Sure, he came as a man, but he wasn't sinful, was he? He lived the perfect life. That meant he could be the perfect sin offering, it says in verse 3. Verse 3, condemned sin in the flesh. He actually condemned sin. He did away with sin. So that means that if you have Christ Jesus now, that condemnation is no longer yours. He has taken it. He has done away with it. Christ has done it. So that now we can live it. Secure in and by the Spirit. That's what verse 4 shows us. Have a look at verse 4. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, God's purpose, his purpose has always been to create a people who look like and walk like and talk like, who live like his people, secure in his gracious love, and that they then live freely like his people should. And verse 4 balances it all wonderfully because he states the purpose. Christ has done it, but now we see by the Spirit he gives it to us and we are meant to live it. Christ has done it. We've just seen that. The righteous requirement is met. No, we could never have lifted that weight of sin off our chest. We couldn't have done it ourselves. But Christ lived the life, the perfect life, so that he could die the death as a sin offering. And now the Spirit comes and he gives us that. No condemnation. And that's something we should be waving, you and I. No condemnation. Wave that banner. That is our banner. That is the thing we proclaim. That is the thing we own. That is the thing we hold. And the Spirit is the one that gives it to us. And the Spirit is the one that causes us to live by that too. Did you see that end of verse 4? We do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is a contrast here. And there should be a contrast in the way that we live and act, in the way we walk, because Paul actually uses the word for walk. You either walk by the flesh, obeying it, or you walk by the Spirit, in that realm, obeying Him. Christian, my brothers and sisters, you have the banner and you can wave that thing. But as you wave that thing, you are walking the walk and you are talking the talk. And both of these things are supernatural acts of God. As Robin was unpacking, they are empowered by the Spirit. You are safe and secure in His gracious arms. And then you are then to live freed from that condemnation, yet with an obligation to actually live the way that you have been called to live. And that's what we'll get to next week in verse, we'll have a look at verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. And then he goes on to say, it's actually to live according to the Spirit. We're going to get into that a little bit more next week. But this week, I want to really sort of dig down and ensure that we have this security. I want us to see and experience and know the mountaintop is ours. These next few verses will ingrain that in us. But I really do hope we can know this. Because I know there will be people who are just on the other side of this camera who are filled at the moment, who are overflowing with the Spirit and know that Christ Jesus is with them at all times. And you are just living in holiness and truth and being able to praise and glorify God in all things. Yeah, I am marching with that banner, Brett. Amen. No condemnation is mine. And there's others. That when we get to the second half of verse 9, and you read, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. And you think, well, that's probably me. Because I have failed. And I haven't been walking. And it's not just that, yeah, I can go some drive-by moments just this past week that really make me question. And this season, I am tired. And I haven't been investing in, well, any relationships. I haven't really been investing in pursuing the Lord through His word and prayer. And yet, what we're going to see in a moment, there is a difference. And you may have to acknowledge, when we look at this difference, that you don't know Christ Jesus. Now, I have to say to you, you can. Life, security, it is offered today. So don't leave that question unanswered today. But Christian, brother and sister, those who do say you trust and know Jesus, Paul writes this to his brothers and sisters and then to us to remind us what we actually have. You have a supernatural power at work in you that will one day raise you from the dead. This is what we believe. We have to keep that in mind. We have to ensure that we know He is living with us and dwelling with us because nothing can overcome this. Imagine we were a church that lived and waved that banner high, saying what the Spirit inspires, and we'll get to this very soon in Romans 8, who can bring a charge against me? God has chosen me. God has justified me. Who can separate me from the love of Christ? Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, or the sword? Not death or life, angels, demons, present, future, no powers, nothing. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors. That is our banner. Wave that banner high. No condemnation. And then we should be a people who live by this Spirit, shouldn't we? We have to keep reminding ourselves of this because there are so many influences at the moment, isn't there? And because we are detached a little bit from our community that we normally have, we have to really think about what it is that's forming our minds and forming what it is we think of ourselves and others. Because there is a difference when those are formed by and live in the realm of the flesh as to those who are formed by and live in the realm of the Spirit. And that's what Paul goes on to unpack now. He shows us the difference. He shows us the path or the source of a life of true security and freedom. How a Christian lives compared to how the rest live. There are only two ways. Those who live by the Spirit and those who live by the flesh. And only one way gives us security of life. And Christian, we have that. So let me show you firstly how he then unpacks this idea of how the Spirit mindset leads to life. Have a look at verse 5. He says, those who live according to the flesh have their mindset on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. See that? Very plain as day. There's the flesh or the Spirit. And then he goes on to say, verse 6, the mind governed or led by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Again, the Spirit leads to life. The flesh leads to death. But what is this mindset? Well, mindset means to, the word itself means to be sort of absorbed with something or focused on it. It's a way of thinking and so viewing, which then will influence the very direction all that a person does. And so a fleshly mindset will prefer, will enjoy, will be enticed by and dwell on the things of the flesh, not about what God is about. Remember when Peter sort of rebukes Jesus and Jesus turns to him and says, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man, the fleshly things." What about a spirit mindset? Well, a spirit mindset thinks about things that are empowered by God for the praise of God, drawing God into the picture and all that he wants and longs for. And the important thing with this is that our walk flows from our mindset, and the Spirit governs that mindset as we then walk and talk and live like Christ. And so I wonder, what is your mindset on? Because yet, how we form our minds will be revealing. It'll be shown. So what is going in will start to flow out, won't it? And if you have fleshly input, it leads to a fleshly output. But if you have a Spirit-filled input, it will lead to a Spirit-filled output. And in COVID, in these times, in this highly media-driven and screen age where we aren't getting necessarily to engage with one another as much, we must acknowledge that there are things that we listen to, that we look at, that we scroll through, that we simply just pick up, listen to on the radio, that will be forming our thoughts, forming our mindsets. What is it that's renewing it? Well, are you renewing your mind? Romans 12:1 will talk about how the Spirit transforms and renews our mind. And we need to do that continually, being filled with God-inspired words, directed by his word, letting things wash that are good and proper and right and true, and then feeding our minds really directly, not just going through the routine. And it's harder now, isn't it? Just going through the routine, we show up, we sort of watch this, maybe we do our quiet time of prayer. I know it's hard, but we must engage our minds. We need the Spirit-filled word. We need to have Spirit-filled people around us. Who are your influences? Or better, who is your influence? Is it the Spirit? Is he the one that is leading you, that is guiding your mindset? Because there is only one direction and one mindset that leads to life. Have a look at verse 7. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. It's strong, isn't it? Hostile to God. There are those who are hostile to God, and there are those who long for him to continue to change and transform them. And that might sound too extreme, but we just have to go back to Romans chapter 1, where it talks about no one can please God, and no one wants to of their own accord. It takes the Spirit to come and to do this. And so, guys, there is no neutral ground. And see the end points? The life of the flesh leads to death. The Spirit leads to life, doesn't it? And Paul shows us the difference. The path or source of a life of true security and freedom can only come through Jesus given to us by the Spirit. So accept that and hold that. We can't neglect this or forget this. It is the very presence of the Holy Spirit who gives us this assurance. And I want to finish with that in verses 9 to 11. The wonderful reality that he dwells in and with us now. Have a look again. Look at verses 9 to 11. We see that we have the Holy, we've got like a new tenant come to dwell. Verse 9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is the presence of the Spirit. Did you see that? Living in and under the power of the direction of the Holy Spirit. You are then in Christ because you've got the Spirit. And it's, again, we see the contrasting powers, but also it can get confusing because there's this interchange, the Spirit's in you and with you, and it's the Spirit of Christ and it's the Spirit. The point here is that there's this incredible, intimate connection between you and the Lord Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit gives. And the way that Paul explains it, I find beautiful. Because do you see that in verse 9? He says, the Spirit of God lives or takes up home in you. It's the word for dwell. The word comes from the word used for house. So that means you think about a home. During COVID, we had holidays, school holidays, and you couldn't go anywhere, so it was locked down. And so I know a few people did this. We set up our tent in the backyard, and the grass still hasn't recovered. Anyway, we set up the tent in the backyard, and we had it there for about a week. And what we would do is at night, Micah and Tilly would go outside, and they would sleep in the tent, and I would go and I'd sleep out in the tent with them, and we'd have a night out in the tent, which was good fun. They loved it. They thought it was the greatest thing ever. But that was not really our home. We were going in and out of our home. Our home is 9A Headley Street, where we live and we dwell, and we've been there for 5.5 years. Our home is the place that we go to, and we've set it up, and you know it's our home, because when you come in there, you expect to see us there, don't you? That's what a home is like. You live in it. You dwell in it. You're there. The Spirit has moved in. The Spirit has made a home in you and me. And I know that can be hard and unusual, confusing to grasp, but it's just like that. He lives in you. The life-giving Spirit, just as was promised in the Old Testament in Ezekiel 36, where God said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Just as Jesus promised, John 14, when he said, don't worry, I'm going to ask the Father to give you an advocate, a supporter, a protector to help you forever. He will live with you. He will be in you. And like when you live with someone in your home, when you dwell, you become familiar with them, don't you? There is a closeness and an intimacy. And I think this is probably part of the reason why often we don't feel the security that we can have that the Scriptures tell us about. Because when you live, it's not like in the tent. When you live and actually dwell with someone, you know how people can live in a house and they can describe it as like two ships passing at night? People can become like that even in their own home. That's not what this is describing, but we often can live that way when it comes to the Spirit. He is there. Let me encourage you. If you are a person who feels like, I don't even know if the Holy Spirit is there, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, He is there. The Scriptures promise that. But then don't grieve Him. Don't resist Him. Don't ignore Him. Don't just pass Him like that ship at night. No, true security comes when you allow for Him to work in you, to change you, to transform you, to renew you, to set your mind in that right direction. And then He'll lead you. Do you know where He'll lead you? To a life lived with no condemnation, to a life of peace and security. Do you know where He's going to lead you? To that mountaintop. You see, today's passage, and I was going to unpack it, but I just want to leave us with it. It leaves us with the brilliant mountaintop view that the powerful effects of the Spirit can have in our lives. Listen to verses 10 and 11. But if Christ is in you, which if you believe in the Lord Jesus, He is by the Spirit, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Life can be rough. And we've felt that. And yes, our bodies are weak, our flesh fails, our minds fail, we struggle, we feel guilt, we feel shame. And I think we are all the more aware at the moment that our bodies seem doomed and are doomed to die. There is nothing in our power that we can do to prevent that. Maybe prolong it, but we can't prevent it, can we? And this tells me, yeah, physical death may come, but I can face that. Because with Christ, those who can read verse 1, that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, have security that because Christ did it and the Spirit gives to us, what it is that, well, that incredible power, what is it? The Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies What a brilliant security that comes from being in the Spirit. What wonderful hope there is when we live by that Spirit, because we know He is then there. There is no condemnation. That is your position, brother and sister. Own it. And then with that security, allow for He who lives in you to influence you, to guide you and to control you and to take you to that mountain so you can glory in the majestic and wonderful God that we get to serve. Praise God that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you so much for what it is that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. We thank you so much for your Holy Spirit that you have given to us, that He dwells within us, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and in us today and will one day raise our mortal bodies. Please, Lord, help us to cling to you and to know that we have security in life no matter what comes before us, no matter what has gone behind. And may we continue to be led by your Holy Spirit, having our minds and our bodies transformed so that we can bring praise and glory to your name. And we pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.